found out yet, this psalm is not about good sheep. It's about a good shepherd. It's not about good sheep. It's about a good shepherd. And I don't know what part of it ministers to you. I know we gravitate to different parts of the psalm at different times in our life. So I don't know where you are or what part of that psalm is significant to you. But I want you just to, this is where we've been. This is the part of the psalm we've been through. Let's read it together, what we've already covered. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a good shepherd we have. It's pretty clear from David's words, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd, not the shepherd. He's my shepherd. It's all about intimacy, isn't it? It's all about dependence. David is trying to show us the heart of the Father, which is what we're seeking more than anything. We want to come into that place of intimacy with him. And David declares it proudly of all the shepherds. The Lord, he is my shepherd. We saw where he makes me lie down in green pastures. Is Josephine here today? And Tyler, are they here? They're not here today. Well, they were at my house this week. We were having dinner, and Josephine said at 4:30 in the morning, Tyler woke up the other day and told her the four things sheep need to lie down. Just came right up to the surface. I thought, glory to God. Not what she wanted to hear at 4:30 in the morning, but it was still a good word, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, sheep need to be free from friction. They need to be free from fear. They need to be free from pests. They need to be free from hunger and thirst. Because sheep don't lie down on their own. It's not natural. But when the Lord is your shepherd, you're going to be different than other sheep. In fact, when people see you lying down, they're going to go, what's up with you? It's going to be an opportunity for you to give an answer for what's in you. Why are you lying down? Oh, it's because the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. I'm not going to lack. I'm going to have everything I need to do what God has called me to do. Because I have the good shepherd, right? He's going to lead me beside the still waters. He's going to restore my soul. Man, yesterday, I don't know about you, Steve, but I realized we were surrounded by cast sheep. They were cast, and many of them, they couldn't make it right in their life. They were frustrated. They were reaching out. What an opportunity we have as the church, because God is in the restoration business. He wants to restore our souls. He wants to take us back to the original plan in our relationship with God. That's his heart for us, to take us back to the original plan. And that's what God is doing. And he's restoring souls. And that's what Faith Community Church, that's what the body of Christ is all about. If we're not restoring people's lives, then why are we here? We're just like the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club. Listen, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We represent the shepherd, and we see that restoration ministry. And last week, we considered how he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his glory and his honor. Amen. Well, we must continue on with the psalm. As we approach our next verse, something's about to change. Something's changing. The shepherd is leading the sheep out of the fold, but this day is going to be different from any other day. It's not going to follow the normal routine, because when they leave the fold, they're not coming back. They're not returning to the same place they were the night before. The shepherd is turning the flock to the high country. He's going to lead them in the valley of the shadow of death. Summer's coming. They must head to the high country because it's going to get hot and the pastures are going to dry up. And the only place to really take care of the sheep is in the high ground. They may be gone for weeks, maybe months. The days ahead are going to be stressful for the sheep because they're going to pass through the valley you see in this picture. See, there really is such a valley in Palestine. This valley of the shadow of death, it's a narrow valley, and it runs all the way from Jerusalem and Bethlehem all the way down to the Dead Sea. The walls are high, and they say there's parts of this valley where the floor only extends 12 feet wide. That's difficult when you have a lot of sheep. They begin to bottleneck. Sometimes the only light in the canyon is at midday when the sun is directly overhead because the walls are so high. It's a place of danger. It's a place of vulnerability. Predators and robbers lurk in these canyons, waiting to pounce on opportunity. The shepherd knows this. He also knows that sometimes in this canyon, sudden storms rise, and before you can move to safety, there's flash floods that come into the valley, and there's nowhere to go. It's not a place sheep are drawn to. It's not the, oh yeah, let's go to the valley. That's where we know. But the shepherd knows something, and probably David was thinking about this very valley. He had walked it before as a shepherd, and I imagine he was thinking about it when he wrote these words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I want you to note something. As we begin to move through this psalm, the pronoun has changed. David is no longer talking about the shepherd. Up to this point, he's just telling you about the shepherd. But now something changes. Now he's talking to the shepherd. He's talking to him. David knows from personal experience that this journey through the valley of the shadow of death is a place of great intimacy. It's a place where the sheep draw close to the shepherd and the shepherd draws closer to the sheep. It's just him and the sheep. That's all it is. He knows it will be a time of intense, intense intimacy. The scriptures often speak about valleys as problems. Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. Psalms 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. Even in our country, we have a valley. What do we call it? Do you know it? It's called Death Valley. I wonder what happens there. It's a dangerous place, isn't it? I know this verse is probably one of the most popular verses. I often read it at funerals, and if you've ever done funerals, you've probably read this. And it's very appropriate. It's very appropriate. But this ancient metaphor includes more than a funeral service. It is actually for the living as well. It's talking about danger and difficulty in our lives, these valleys that we all go through. In fact, some translations translate the Hebrew to mean deep darkness. Have you ever been there? Do you have valleys in your life's experience that meet this definition? I do. I've been there. In fact, most of us, you've either been there or you are there. You're coming out of there or you're going in there. I mean, this valley experience is something David said is part of our life. And if you haven't figured it out yet, and I'm pretty sure you have, life as we know it is not always easy. How many of you were told when you became a Christian, everything was going to be hunky-dory? Yeah, you're going to tiptoe through the tulips, right? Everything's going to work out for you. Did anybody tell you that when you got saved? Yeah. You know, visiting and ministering to all those people yesterday, I would love to have told them, hey, listen, you just come to Jesus and all your problems are going to be over. You just come to Jesus and all this will be fixed for you. But I know that's not true. And David knew it wasn't true. He knew about this valley. He knew that life was not easy. In fact, there's times when life is just plain hard. Just because we're believers, we are not sheltered from the valley of life that we often experience. In fact, Jesus, he said it. He didn't trick us. He said, in this life, you're going to have what? Really? Jesus said that. He's talking to us. He said, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But what did he say? Be at peace. I'm going to give you peace. Don't worry about it. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. But he said, he didn't say, now, after this, you'll have no more trouble. After this, life is going to be smooth sailing. You'll never have to worry about having work. You'll never have to worry about having enough money. You have more money than you ever need. Just everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to have the perfect spouse. It's just going to be wonderful. Your kids are going to glow in the dark. I mean, we're believers. Why shouldn't it be that way? David's trying to tell us something. See, sometimes we get up in the morning and we're eating from the green pastures. We're drinking from those still waters, not knowing that later that day, things may be different for us. And we might find ourselves going through a difficult valley. Have you ever been there? I have. How many of you have ever been to the valley of discouragement? I have. You ever been to the valley of depression? I have. Wait a minute, how can that be? You're the pastor. No, there's times I'm depressed, I don't even know why. You say, well, you're not very spiritual. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I don't feel very spiritual, especially when I'm in the valley. There's the valley of financial need. There's the valley of illness or tragedy or loss. There's a valley of failed ministry. Have you ever been there? A valley of broken relationships or a broken marriage. Have you ever been there? Wait a minute, you're a Christian. You're never supposed to experience those things. Everything's supposed to. Huh? Your children are just going to turn out. Everything's going to be great. David says, you're going to walk through this valley. I want to give you, we're going to look at four lessons that we can receive from this valley. Are you ready? Four of them. You can write them down in your insert. There's more, but we want to do these four, all right? Four lessons that we can receive from the valley. Are you ready for the first one? This is the first lesson you receive as you go through the valley. Don't panic. Don't panic. Now, we're just going to take David's words and look at them. They're very simple. What's he say? He says, yea, though I walk. Yea, though I walk. He said, don't run. Don't run. How many of you ever been, remember when you were, maybe you still have this experience, you ever been to a public pool and there's a lifeguard and they spend most of their time blowing their whistle, and what are they blowing the whistle over? What are they saying? Walk. You've been there. Don't run, walk. Why? Can't we get there quicker by running? Why are they concerned? Because when you run, what might happen? You could fall and you could hurt yourself. The enemy wants you to, he loves it when the sheep stampede. He loves it because then bad things can happen. David says, I'm going to walk through the valley. I'm going to walk. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to be at peace. David says yes to the valley. Yay. He didn't say nay. He said, yay, though I walk through the valley. I'm embracing this valley. I'm not denying it. I'm embracing the valley head on. So oftentimes in the church, we teach people to deny the valley. Don't even talk about it. Don't even admit you're there. But David says, no, I'm walking. I'm going to walk through this valley. So I love Paul's words in Corinthians. I mean, I just think it's the most balanced scripture in the New Testament when about faith and reality. And Paul says, I am hard pressed on every side. How many think that's a negative confession? There's nowhere I can turn. I'm hard pressed. Well, Paul, you got a spiritual problem. There's something wrong with you. You're not reading your Bible enough. You're not praying enough. You're not going to church enough. You're not serving enough. No, it just is sometimes you will be in that place. And what is his response? He responds not in denial of what's happening, but he responds with faith. He says, yes, I'm hard pressed. But, he says, I am not crushed. I'm not crushed. Yeah, I'm under a lot of pressure, but I am not crushed. See, he's walking through it, isn't he? He went on to say, I am perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? We're not supposed to be that way, are we? You know where you have more questions than answers? Oh, some of you act like you have all the answers. I gave up on that a long time ago. I don't have all the answers. I've got a lot of answers, but I don't have all of them. And sometimes I'm perplexed. I say, God, I don't understand. Why is this? Is it okay to ask God a question like, God, why is this? But what does Paul say? Even though I'm perplexed, very important, he says, but I am not in despair. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I am perplexed. I don't understand. I'm wrestling with this, but I'm not in despair, Lord. I'm keeping my focus on you. Then what does he say? I am persecuted. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. He says, I am persecuted. Have you ever been persecuted? Not prosecuted, persecuted. Have you ever been persecuted, right? You know, that it means to be in the crosshairs. Can you imagine in the valley of the shadow of death, that valley, somebody, there's a sniper up on the walls. And he's got you in his crosshairs. And he's squeezing off rounds in your direction. Ching, ching, you can hear the bullets going over your head. You ever feel that way? Why are they shooting at me? Why is everybody after me? And we feel persecuted. But what does he say? I am persecuted, but, this is important, it fits with this psalm, but I am not alone. I'm not alone. And boy, if you're being persecuted, you got to get a hold of that because that'll help you get through it. Don't deny it. If it's happening, it's happening. And lastly, what's he say? He says, and when I am knocked down, I'm on my back. I'm cast. Isn't that being cast, being knocked? I'm knocked down. What's he say? But I am not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. He didn't deny it. He stayed focused. He kept the course. That's what we do. That's what David's saying. You just keep on walking. When you're in the valley, just keep on walking. The Lord may be in the valley. He's there with us. He's wanting to take you to the high place, to the high ground. There may be a blessing waiting for you. There may be a purpose in the valley. You don't enjoy it. You don't like it. You don't want to be there. But God has something He's doing. The valley can be a passageway to something special. Have you ever experienced it? I have. Sometimes that valley will take you to some place you could never go any other way. See, they couldn't get to the mountaintop unless they went through the valley. It's the only way there. I wish there was another way. But there isn't another way. Instead of asking, when am I going to get out of this valley? Maybe what you need to ask is, what am I going to get out of this valley? Because there's a lot of lessons to learn in the valley. I love to follow people who have been in the valley. Sometimes they walk with a limp. It's not just theory to them. It's not just doctrine. It's not just theology. They've lived it. They've walked it. Those are the people I want to listen to. Amen? Number two. Boy, you better remember this when you're going through the valley. It's not forever. It's not forever. It's temporary. It's temporary. What does David say? We're going to walk through the valley. He didn't say we're going to live there. He didn't say we're going to stay there. He didn't say we're going to die there. He said we're going to go through there. We're going to pass through there. You don't stay in the valley. You don't pass through it. You don't go around it. You go over it, not under it, but you go through it. See, so oftentimes we're trying to, is there a shortcut I can take? Is there some other way? No. God's taking you through the valley, and you just need to trust Him in that. Just trust Him in that. Say yes to it. Embrace it. Keep walking and go through it. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Aren't you glad? I'd hate to think. You said, this light affliction is going to last forever. It's but for a moment. I remember we used to have a tradition on New Year's. We would all gather together in a church where I was, and we'd take a piece of paper, and I'd instruct everybody to write down the five biggest needs in your life right now. And they would do it. What's your five biggest troubles? And we would seal it in an envelope and write their name on it and put it in a safe for a whole year. And then next New Year's, you would come and find your envelope on the altar. Do you remember that? And they would open it up, and it never failed. Never failed. They'd look at your list. Guess what? What happened to that list? It changed. It didn't stay the same. Why? Because it's temporary. Most of your problems are temporary. The enemy wants you to believe they're not. He said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory for Jesus Christ, is that me? Is that you? Yeah, yeah. After you have suffered a while. Now wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for suffering. But listen to what comes with it. Because see, we have lost the ability to suffer. We, in our country, we don't know what we call suffering is not suffering. I got a little peek of it yesterday listening to some of these stories. I used to think I was suffering, but I told Steve, I said, I don't have any problems. My goodness, listen to these stories. I'm so blessed. But he says, listen to this. After you have suffered a while, you'll be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. Got it? After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what God's going to do. Anybody interested in that? Anybody want to be perfected? Anybody want to be established? Anybody want to be strengthened? Anybody want to just settle down a little bit? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. You're going to go through some struggles. It's what David is talking about, isn't it? Here's lesson number three. This is important. When you're going through the valley, don't be afraid. See, that's the number one thing the enemy wants from us. He wants a spirit of fear to rest upon us. He says, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Listen, God's not, 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but what's He giving us? A spirit of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? Anybody interested in that? Listen, the spirit of fear is not from God. Don't put that on God. God didn't give that to you. God doesn't want you to have a spirit of fear. And there's a reason for that. He knows that fear will take things away from you that He wants you to have. A spirit of fear will take your joy away from you. Amen? Have you ever met anybody who has a spirit of fear who's full of joy? No. When I'm full of fear, that's the farthest thing from me. And that joy is important. Do you know people who have the spirit of fear who lose their confidence? That's what the enemy wants. That's why he wants you to be afraid, because he wants you to lose your confidence. David was establishing his confidence. He had confidence in God. When you're full of fear, you're going to lose your peace. People who are fearful, you want to know how, if you're fearful, listen to your words. Listen to what you're saying. Are you just talking about the problems? Are you talking about the past? What is it you're afraid of? Fear will stop our forward motion. It will paralyze you. It will zap your strength. It'll just suck it right out of you. That's why the enemy wants you to be afraid. And that's why God says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Notice he said, don't be afraid of what? Of the shadow of death. Don't be afraid of it. How many know a shadow can't hurt you? You ever been hurt by a shadow? Shadow can't hurt you. It can only scare you. I remember growing up as a kid, and I've talked about this. We lived on Big Bend Boulevard, St. Louis. We lived above a lawnmower store, I remember at the time, and it was a main traveled road. In fact, President Kennedy came by my bedroom window one year. Yeah, I could just sit in my bedroom window and wave at President Kennedy. That was pretty cool. I said, how old are you? Well, anyway, I was little. I was pretty little at the time, all right? But it was kind of cool. But there were lights, neon lights, city lights, and they would shine in my bedroom window. And I would wake up and look on the walls, and I'd see men with top coats and hats. You know, those shadows. I thought they were coming after me. And man, it would scare me as a little kid. And I'd run in and tell my mom, Mom, there's somebody in my room. No, there's not. There's nobody in your room. Yes, there is. And she would come into the room to reassure me. And what's the first thing Mom would do? She'd throw on the light. Well, they were there, but they're gone now, right? Where are those shadows going? And she'd turn off the light. I'd lay down a little while longer. Boy, they'd come back again. There was only one thing that would satisfy me. I would take my pillow and I'd go into my mom's room. Mom, she said, well, just lay down here by my bed. And I could sleep through the rest of the night without any problem. Why? Because my mom was with me. I wasn't alone anymore. Listen, if there's a shadow, there's some good news. If there's a shadow, that means there's some light. If there's a shadow, that means there's some light. You can't have a shadow without light, can you? If you go into a cave and they turn out the lights, there's no shadows. Why? Because there's no light. In order for there to be a shadow, there has to be some light. Death, listen, death, how many of you are afraid of dying? Anybody here a little concerned about that? Oh, I don't know. You know, death is just a shadow. Because see, really, you're not going to die. You're just going to move. I had the opportunity this week to visit with Willa. And some of you know Willa. Some of you don't. She's a shut-in. And I went and sat by her bed. And we just had the greatest time sharing. And Willa said, you know, Pastor, when that door opens up, I'm going to run through it. I said, you are? Yeah. And I'm ready. I went, wow. And I began to read to her from Psalms 139. You know, we've been reading this particular chapter. It's been a ministry to me. And so we read through the book. In fact, at the end, she said to me, read that at my funeral. Read that at my funeral. I said, okay, all right. But here's some words that I gravitated to. Think about this. The psalmist says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Even the night shall be light about you. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. Get this. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Who is this God we serve? The darkness and the light are both the same to you. So when I'm in that valley of the shadow of death and darkness, and that's some translate it that way, deep darkness in the Hebrew, deep dark, when you're in that, if you're ever in that place, and if you haven't been, you will be, and if you've been there, you'll probably be back again, because we passed through that valley many times, and David understood it, didn't he? Death is a shadow. A shadow of a dog cannot bite you. A shadow of a sword cannot hurt you. We give these shadows great power. But he says, listen, even though I'm surrounded by evil, I will not be afraid. Do you ever feel that way? Now, evil can mean a lot of things, depending on how it's used and how it's structured. It can mean adversity, calamity. It can mean something bad or sinful. It can mean evil people. Are you ever surrounded by evil people? He says, listen, when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I know God's presence is with me. Listen, David's saying that God never promised you that there'd be no evil around you. He never promised you he'd protect you from evil. What he did promise you is that when it comes, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid. Shadows are bigger than reality. Fear is always greater than the problem you're facing. Pastor Mike gave me a quote this morning. He said, the problems that lay ahead of us are not nearly as great as the power that is behind us. We oftentimes are so focused on our problems, we don't realize what God is doing. I have a question for you this morning. What would you do if you had no fear? Just think about it for a minute. What would you do if you had no fear? I love the story of Peter. When he's in the boat, there's a little storm and Jesus comes walking on the water. You know that story, right? It's in Matthew 14. I love this story. It's so powerful. Jesus comes up and it's dark. Hello, it's dark. It's a and what did the disciples think? Oh, it's a what? It's a ghost. Listen to me. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, it'll be hard to see Jesus. Sometimes you're going to lose focus because you're not going to be able to make him out. You might even think he's a ghost, but he's going to be there. And I love the response of Peter. He said, Lord, if it's really you, what could be more important than being in this service? That's what I want to know. Okay. You let us know when you come back. But if it's really you, Lord, then bid me to come to you. And what does Jesus say? He says, okay, Peter, come on. Come on. Listen, you know, sometimes we're so focused on our problems and the things around us, we're asking the wrong question. We need to ask Peter's question. Lord, is it you? Are you in this? And if you are, would you bid me to come to you? What a great question. And so he comes, and I love the story. He walks on the water. How cool is that? But we know he takes his eyes off Jesus, and what happens? He becomes what? Afraid. And what fear did to Peter will do to you. And he began to sink. Now here's the cool part of the story, because we never present it right. It says he began to sink. Jesus did not let him sink. He reached out and grabbed him. I want you to know something. You don't need to be afraid today of missing God, because he's right there to catch you. See, the enemy wants to paralyze you so you don't make that move. Well, what if this and what if that and what if this happens or what if that happens? That's fear. Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come and I will come. And if I do fall, if I do stumble, you're going to be there to help me because you are the good shepherd. The presence of the Lord will cast out all fear, Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid. That's the bottom line. If I'm afraid, I'm struggling with trusting him. And the last lesson that we want to leave you with this morning, and it's the most important, and that is that the Lord is with you in the valley. I want you to understand, you are not alone in the valley. The Lord is with you. He says, you are with me. He's no longer talking about him. He's talking to him. He's saying, Lord, you're with me. You're with me. When we see in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. My problem is not that God's not, his promise is sure that he will be with me, but sometimes I'm like the disciples. I'm not aware of his presence. And when I am, it changes everything. Is that right? Someone said once, don't trust where you are, but who you are with. We're more focused on where we are than who we are with. If God, listen, have you ever thought, wouldn't you like to have been the disciples where you could walk with Jesus? I mean, wouldn't you like that, sit around a campfire with Jesus? I wonder if they told jokes and stuff. I think they did, probably. I bet they laughed and had a great time, didn't they? Yeah, wasn't that great? Oh, man, that was a great trip. Wouldn't that be cool? And you see, if I could walk with Jesus, if he could be right here with me, man, I'd be victorious. You know, I wouldn't sin. I mean, why would you sin if Jesus is sitting next to you in the flesh? You wouldn't do it, would you? The disciples did. They were with him. And they still struggled, didn't they? Well, the reality is, he is with us, isn't he? He's with us. And if we could just be aware of his presence, it would give us an edge as we walk through this life. Where you are is not who you are. Don't let where you are define you. In his presence is fullness of joy. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You are never alone in the valley. Amen? And we need to remind each other of that. Lord, where are you in this valley? It's not, Lord, how do I get out of it? But what? How do I get out of this valley? But what do I get out of this valley? Because this valley is taking you somewhere. It's taking you to higher ground. What valley are you in today? And probably you haven't even, maybe you haven't even shared it because you were taught that you're not supposed to be in valleys. If you're a victorious Christian, well, I want you to know something. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. And going through the valley does not defeat me. It actually makes me stronger because it defines who I am. If I'm going to learn to be faithful, I'm going to need to be in positions where I could maybe be unfaithful. If I'm going to learn to endure, I need to be in some situations where I'm going to have to practice endurance. How many of you like to live in California where it's sunny all the time, right? We dream, oh man, wouldn't that be... What do you get when you get all sunshine all the time? You get a desert. You get a desert. God doesn't want us to be a desert. He's bringing storms into our lives sometimes because he's wanting to teach us these lessons. These are just a few of them. But I want to encourage you, and I want you to, we're going to just pause here because we're going to pray together. And I'm going to give an invitation to you. If you're in a valley right now, and maybe you're just, you might be a little discouraged and you just want somebody to encourage you, I want you to consider these lessons. Number one, don't panic, because that's when bad things happen. Keep walking. Hold the course. Be steady. Know it's only for a while. Do not be afraid. The spirit of fear is not from God. And what's going to help you do that? Because the Lord is with you. You are not alone. I love this picture. It's one of my favorites. I believe it can be just like that for us. See, you can't look at those dogs. You got to look straight ahead, right? Because of Jesus. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? The Lord shut the lion's mouth. Boy, that was a valley, wasn't it? David knew about valleys. Saul tried to kill him. I wonder if he thought about this when he was saying these words. Tried to take my life. My own son tried to take my kingdom. He was a man of sorrow. But he was a man after God's own heart. And God used those times to perfect him. I believe he's going to do that with us as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to consider the reality of the valleys that we may be walking through right now. Father, you know where we are. You not only know where we are, but you have led us into the valley. We have followed you into that valley. Some of us are full of fear today. We're not sure what's going to happen. We're looking at all the evil around us, and we are afraid. Lord, I pray you would move into a position and calm our hearts and let us know that all this has a purpose in our lives. Take us to the higher ground. We don't have to be afraid of the predators around us, the robbers above us, those who would mean us harm. The Lord is my shepherd. And Lord, I believe you have a purpose you are fulfilling in my life, and I do not have to be afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of life. Sometimes life is scarier than death. But Lord, I'm not afraid. I pray you would bring it upon this body of believers that's that spirit of love and power and a sound mind. We desperately need it. Lord, bring us through this time. Some of us are close to the end. Some of us are just beginning. Some of us are right in the middle of it. But Lord, we are not alone. I pray we could be an encouragement to one another today as we seek your face and declare with David, yes, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thank you, Father. We don't take that for granted. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? As we dismiss, there's going to be those here who are willing to pray with you. I know some of you got to go, and I understand. But if you need prayer this morning, take advantage. That's part of God's provision for you when you're in the valley, just to gather around and draw strength from one another. Because I was meeting with Matt. It's Matt Harmon, who's on our advisory council. He doesn't go to this church. And, he lost his son recently in a tragic automobile accident. And we were having lunch this week, and I was asking him how he was doing. And he said this to me. He said, well, Joe, he said, I'm in a cave, a dark cave. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I can see it. And I'm walking towards it. And then he said this to me. He said, but I realize this cave is tall enough for me to stand up in, and it's wide enough for someone to walk beside me. Yeah. It's wide enough that we can walk beside each other and keep our eyes on the shepherd. He's going to take care of us. It's going to be okay. That's the good news today. It's going to be okay because God has a plan and he's more in charge than you think he is. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, in fact, the word that came forth today, it was you. It was you. I want to pray with you today. We love you. You don't need to feel out of place because we all came the same way and the ground is level at the cross. For all of us, we all come the same way. We are sinners saved by grace. It's God's provision for us. We want you to take advantage of it today. If you need healing in your body, we'll anoint you with oil and pray for you. That can be a valley, let me tell you. If you're just struggling, something's going on in your life, let's just agree together. And if that spirit of fear is on you, we're going to rebuke it. Because it's a spirit. It's a spirit. And we'll take authority over it. And we'll pray with you and release you from that spirit of fear so you can continue moving through the valley and find your way to the higher ground. Are you ready for that? Who needs that? We're ready for that. Amen. I want you to go in God's grace, in his love, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And know we love you. Take advantage, will you, today of God's provision for you. God bless you as you go. And we'll be here to pray with you, administer to you, take your liberty, take advantage of the body of Christ. We love you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Bless you.